This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Witching Hour is brought to you by Elan House of Wellness, the mother-led brand that's dedicated to nurturing, nourishing, and empowering new mothers and families. I've eaten my way through so many of their incredibly nourishing dry food packs, like the dark chocolate banana bread, golden kitchery, and blooming bites. And you're in luck, because some of my favourite products are currently 20% off. In my opinion, a better nourished postpartum leads to a better return to paid work and a happier parent all around. So support and nourish yourself today with Elan House of Wellness. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou. Posey is in another room, so let's see how that goes.
This could be a first, I want to say.
Could be.
This could be a first. Normally she's here joining you, or you've got to duck out to get her, so let's just see how we go.
What's your name?
And I'm Loz. Sorry. After all that, what's my name? I'm Loz, by the way. I'm Loz. Sorry.
I know you, so that's okay. People listening hopefully know you.
Yeah. I always kick things off with a good news story. Recent studies by Professor Nick Brown, a lecturer at Stanford University, show that working from home 2 days each week reduces sick days by 12%. It reduces quitting by 35% with no cost to performance or profit. I mean, Stanford, again, an American start. I feel like we should be saying to Aussies, like, come on, bring the stats.
Come on, Aussie, come on.
I might look for a stat. It's always like a Harvard, Stanford, some form of Ivy League. I mean, they all sound glorious, but
there's a lot of people over there, unfortunately. It's funny you say that, actually, because the episode that has just dropped today, aka last week when this is going live, is an episode with a Monash University lecturer and researcher.
True.
So there you go. And I highly recommend listening to that, Stephanie Westcott. It is front of mind for you. A little bit of, I mean, not sad news because it's everywhere. I'm not telling this news, but I'm going to share in the show notes today some links to where people online who I trust are suggesting to donate money if you're feeling a bit helpless with the Gaza and Rafah situation. I saw the saddest reel that showed this mum sort of going about her day. She's like, need to answer an email, close her eyes. All she sees is these babies, women, sad, sad scenes. And it's just obviously destroying us all. And we do bring it up on the Instagram every now and then, but we haven't talked about it much here. So I just wanted to acknowledge how hard it is to see that. I'm sure it's devastating everyone, and say that I will put some links up to some really helpful resources for where to donate. And now we're going to get into it, Lozzie. Today, research shows that those who spend more time speaking tend to emerge as the leaders of the groups, regardless of their intelligence. Wow, oh wow. Jessica Biel is done being a cool girl about periods. What I did not tell you when I sent you this story, actually, Lozzie, is that this is Hayden's dream girl.
Oh, Jessica Biel, really?
Yeah, that's Hayden's dream girl.
Surprising.
Your cousin wants to potentially bang Jessica Biel.
I'm shook by that. This sounds horrible, but I'm like, aim higher.
You'd go to a Victoria's Secret model if you're going to bother.
Yeah, exactly. Women are meant to be supporting women. And here I am saying aim higher. I mean, she's a babe. Like, good on you.
She's an absolute
personal
babe.
Preference, but that
she looks nothing like me. So offended a little bit. And I digress.
I mean, you're both hot.
Thank you. Yes, we are on a similar playing field. So that is good that you brought that up. And lastly from me, your answers, our listeners, to a poll that I did not anticipate being so popular. With hindsight is obvious. Everyone wants more me time. But it is all about that elusive, important and hard to find me time. I'm really feeling the pinch going from one to two. It is way more elusive, way harder to find, way more important. And I'm trying to get it. So we'll discuss that too. Let's take it away, Lozzie.
Babel hypothesis shows key factor to becoming a leader. Research shows that those who spend more time speaking tend to emerge as the leaders of groups, regardless of their intelligence. If you want to become a leader, start yammering. It doesn't even necessarily matter what you say. New research shows that groups without a leader can find one if someone just starts talking a lot.
You and I could be pretty good at this, actually, I've just realised. Very good at talking.
We are, absolutely. But I think There is, and I don't want to discredit this research by saying, oh, you know, how bullshit that just by being loud, you're the leader. I would say, though, it does take some leadership qualities to actually be the talker in a group when you are in an uncomfortable situation or when you're with like a C-suite or executive team, leadership team, or if you're presenting something. Like I deep down do think that those people who have the confidence doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a massive talker. But if you're the first one to put your hand up, I kind of agree that you should be a bit of a leader, regardless of your intelligence, because no one else is doing it.
Yeah, I guess it depends if this person just thinks they're good and it's like a bit of a dick swinging competition, or if it's the keen person in the group that brings people together. Because I have had managers in the past that I don't think are emotionally intelligent enough and don't speak enough. And you're like, mate, like I've just told you that I'm struggling to do something. You're not fucking helping me. Like, talk to me. So I do agree with you in that sense. And that's very interesting.
Yes. So they say that people who do more talking in groups, no matter what they are saying, are more likely to be considered leaders by the other group members. Here's the problem, though. We are perpetuating a cycle of meetings that are dominated by one or two individuals, which I have seen happen over and over and over again.
That was my life at Cricket Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. And while we subconsciously select these individuals to serve as leaders, we are ironically, to what you said before, frustrated that our meetings are not collaborative nor productive. So what the research essentially is saying is that not in all cases, but if you've got someone that's just a bit of a fool, but really loud and extroverted, that dominates the meeting, but has no agenda, no nothing, and you sit there babbling, you're like, everyone thinks to themselves, it's a complete waste of everyone's freaking time. Fair enough.
It's actually funny now that you say this. I hate to be the feminist. No, I don't. I love to be the feminist.
Oh, tell me.
But
yeah, you do.
As soon as I think about this prototype of a human, I'm picturing a man in his 50s or 60s. Like I could picture the guys in my head that I've worked with that are like this. And I've been like, I actually don't know if you're good at your job because I've never had any proof that you are, but you're in a leadership position. You're sort of running this meeting, but you're sort of just speaking and I don't really know what you're saying.
See, I've had the opposite. I've actually, in my experience, the worst leaders I've had that have genuinely been self-selected because they are really loud and very confident and very extroverted have been women. And I feel like that almost frustrates me more because as a woman myself, I look to women to uplift and be productive and bring you along for the ride and really create an experience that you can not agree with, but
piggyback off or embrace almost.
What's that word? Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if you've got a female standing out there and you're like, you just sound like a peanut, let somebody else talk. I almost feel like that's more infuriating.
Maybe you notice it more because you feel like there's more at stake with female leadership because you are a female and because you want to see females in leadership.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's a really interesting point. It's almost like, darling, you're not doing good for our brand right now. Maybe let someone else talk.
Yeah. Although like, do you know what I said? I know I said it before, but I do think I get it. Like, I do understand this research and it's true. I've seen it happen time and time again because unfortunately what I do think happens predominantly more so with women is that you are in a group situation, you are out of your comfort zone, you feel a bit nervous, and if you're more inclined to have an introverted personality or be a people pleaser or you're not confident in your ability or maybe you're a new starter, you haven't been there for a long time, the likelihood is you are going to sit back and listen to others. And in that respect, somebody that puts their hand up and just starts talking about whatever emerges as a leader naturally because no one else is doing that.
Do you think back to some of the leaders you've had in the past and remember feeling almost confused as to how they could have got to that position besides just being talkers and being charismatic? Like, I can think of so many leaders I've had over the years that I think to myself, I really never saw you as talented at your job. You just talked and led.
Okay, I've seen two things. Yes, I've seen that. I've also seen, and I've had a manager that I thought was fantastic, amazing, very emotionally intelligent, very in tune with her people. But when she was put in a room of other like-minded senior leaders, what ended up happening is that because there was another personality like that was dominating, and I thought this person was a peanut, she would kind of go back into her shell and then not say anything. I'm like, you're the smartest. Like, you've got the best ideas. You've done all the strategy.
Do you know what upsets me about this research, though, is I think a lot of intelligent people know when to stop fucking talking because they don't want to be the center of attention.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's like almost the intelligent people in the room work for the leaders, and then the leaders get up and they're like, look what I did today. I am so amazing. And they've got this smart person just to their side. It's funny, your cousin, my husband, if anyone's listening for the first time, his name's Hayden. He's Loz's cousin. He's my husband. I literally just said that. Wow, oh, wow. I've been awake since 3:50 a.m. Two wake-ups during that. Anyway, back to it. He says, because he's not a big talker, as you know, he says, why would I talk for the sake of it? And I think that's quite a smart, intelligent thing, as long as you're a polite person.
Yeah, but it's because I hate awkward silence.
I know, but I feel like it's really interesting. You and I are obviously great talkers. I feel like leadership is often... it's a very confusing one because you need people that can get up there and engage with others, but they're not necessarily always the people with the best ideas. But I guess as long as they embrace the people that have the best ideas, maybe they are still right for the job because they do fucking talk so much. Who knows?
So this is a solution presented by Adam Grant, big motivational speaker. He's actually quite an introvert, which is fascinating, but very, very established in the leadership space. He says, as a solution, if you're a manager, ask yourself, am I selecting leaders based on their vocal presence or on their proven leadership abilities and capacity to elevate others? Number one, create an agenda with topics and assign an owner to each topic. I've seen this work really well on a number of occasions because if you do have a group, like I sat in a meeting a couple of months back where there was a really dominant personality that talked a lot, and it made it quite frustrating for others that had things that they needed to add to help improve that overarching project. So if you can assign an owner to each topic, it means everyone gets a turn. Give each topic a set amount of time. Usually the talkers take up the most time innately because they love talking. And then number three, designate a meeting officiant who will keep track of the agenda and the time. I never do this, but I always think it's such a good idea so that you can be like, all right, you've got 2 minutes left, like, wrap it up.
I particularly like assigning an owner to each topic because I also, as someone that is a good talker in the right setting, I go shy in a big meeting setting. So if someone assigned a topic to me and I knew ahead of time, I'd prepare for it because if someone just sprung that on me on the day, I would feel unprepared, embarrassed, and nervous. I want to be prepared. I want to know what my topic is. And then that person will probably put more effort into preparing for the meeting as opposed to just showing up, rolling their eyes because one person is going to talk the whole bloody time. Everyone knows it. Everyone bitches about it behind their backs. And then they just get on with the meeting and get out of there without putting much into it. Love those tips. Good on you, Adam. I love when he comes up on LinkedIn. I think he's great.
Jessica Biel is done being a cool girl about periods. After years of laughing off misogyny and body shaming, the actress wrote a book to explain periods to kids, including her sons. I actually think that's quite cool. Like I've been inundated with celebrity face products, cosmetics, bikini lines.
Yes. Skincare? Why do they all have skincare lines? Candle brands? Like what?
Yeah, the whole lot. And I'm all for it, if I'm honest. Like I'm about a fad. Like I jump so hard on a fad. I love it. Like I really
do. You know what annoys me though? Like if they're bringing nothing new to the table, it's just like, I'm a bit rich. I'm a bit bored. What should we make? It's so annoying.
Some of their shit is really good. It's really good.
You are a marketer's dream, my friend.
I am. The fact that she has written a book about periods, I think is great.
Yeah, that's cool. She's actually doing something with a bit of impact.
Exactly. And it's not something that's spoken about frequently or frequently enough. So Jessica Biel figures that she's been getting her period for about 30 years now. And yet still after 3 decades, she still feels the pull of that classic middle school move. My knee-jerk reaction is to still hide the tampon in my sleeve and scurry like somebody who's done something wrong to go to the bathroom.
That is exactly what I used to do in the office. Like put it up my sleeve.
Yeah. I just had it in my pocket.
Yeah. Okay. You're practical.
I mean, I was never hiding it like, oh, shit, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I was a hider.
I still feel like I'm like that. Like
I'm ashamed of it now.
Well, it's so funny. Like I was looking on Instagram the other day, like I do every other single day of my life. And I think it was Laura Byrne. Is that right?
Laura Byrne. That
Maddie
rings a
J's
bell.
Wife. She's a legend from Life Uncut.
Yes, absolutely.
Froth her. She was like, what's in my handbag? She was opening it up and she's like, I've got my lip gloss, then I've got my tampons. And at that moment, I thought, what a fucking legend. And I shouldn't be praising her for showing your tampons. But if that was me, it's just not something that I would show. And it's probably goes back to this, like, keep it private.
Yeah. Like, periods are yuck, even though half the population get them.
Yeah. It's like you just don't talk about it, or you just kind of keep it to yourself. But in that moment, after I'd read this article that you'd sent through, and then I'd seen her Instagram post, and I'm like, you know what? People still feel that knee-jerk reaction of, like, wanting to hide it.
Yeah.
And by having influencers like Laura that have gone out and said, this wasn't my handbag, and just didn't even touch on it, like, treated it like it was, like, a normal topic, whatever, that's what we need.
We need to free the nipple and free the tampon and free the moon cup.
We do. In a casual way, like,
yeah,
casually, as if it doesn't mean anything when we're doing it.
Yeah. Can I ask you, if you had close male friends at work ever, would you ever say anything to do with, say you had a really bad period pain one day, would you ever bring that up?
No.
See, I reckon there was one male colleague that I definitely did to. I wouldn't have gone into the details with him, but I would definitely be like, it's that time of month or similar. But never, never. I'm surprised by that for you. You're not with a close book.
Even to Ryan.
What? That's a joke.
Even to Ryan. Like, I mean, obviously, Ryan knows. He knows. But
doesn't need to see the tampon up your sleeve to know.
But it's not as if I'm like, oh, like, I don't have the discussion around it. It's just like,
yeah.
A...
yeah. But you're not hiding it at home, surely.
No, we'll have my, like, little stash where I keep all my things. Like, it's not out in the open.
No.
So maybe I am in some way. I don't know.
I mean, look, I'm not presenting them on the kitchen bench. So I agree with you in that sense.
The more I read this article, the more I found it fascinating, because I think her view is most likely the common view that people would still take. In this spirit, she partnered with a company called period.org, a global non-for-profit which strives to eradicate period poverty and stigma, to write a book called A Kid's Book About Periods. So literally, she's just gone for it.
I love that.
There's no beating around the bush. She said what it is. It's geared towards children, which I think is great. And it aims to normalize talking about menstrual cycles and even highlight that actually having a period can be pretty cool. The idea, Bill explains, is that if kids can see their grown-ups talking about the subject casually and with confidence, which I think is the key thing to this whole discussion, they will have the agency and voice to talk about their own bodies. This is what I find the most interesting. On that, though, I do have a funny story. So, post-birth, I obviously have quite a lot of bleeding, like everybody does, or most people, and I had, like, a maternity pad on, and I was in the bathroom. I mean, I don't have any privacy in the bathroom usually, so I mean, period care is something that both of my kids will grow up with unless they learn to keep the door closed, which they don't. So Sienna was like, why are you wearing a nappy?
That's so good.
And then she was like, my mom wears a nappy sometimes. A nappy.
Oh, I'm that's like, so cute. Did she go and tell the kindergarten kids that?
Oh, I'm pretty sure she told half the park. And I was like,
oh, that's so good. Postpartum.
Look. I'm all about it. I think she's done a great job. And next time you head to the bathroom, take a deep breath and hold your tampon high, or at least not hidden up your sleeve. That's the key message of this whole thing, which I can absolutely get.
I'm never hiding a menstruation product up my sleeve again. I will hide it where it's needed to go, but I will not hide it up my sleeve. I love this. Lozzie, what age do you think you'll start educating your kids around, I guess, things to do with puberty, menstruation, more broadly?
I feel like I'm already doing it now. As in, inadvertently, I'm already doing it now, because it's not something that I'm like, get out of the bathroom, you know, mummy has to, whatever. Like, I'll be honest. I'll be like, what's a tampon? You know, mummy has this or whatever. It's not like I don't call it a taboo topic in our household.
Yeah, because you don't want shame around it. You want Sienna to be able to come to you straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the average age of girls getting their periods now is 9, between 9 and 11.
Wow. How old were you? Why has it gone down?
15.
I was 12.
Were you 12?
I don't know why, but I always associated girls who developed younger as the booby girls, like the girls that looked more womanly. Yeah. I always thought they'd get their periods first. But little old me with flat pancake chest, she got her period at 12. And I was, I mean, lucky in inverted commas, who cares now, but I was young for my age, so it still meant I was in year 7, but I remember thinking and being really ashamed and thinking to myself, thank fuck I am young for my year, because otherwise I would have been in year 6 getting my period, which is fine now, like, who cares? But at the time, it was such a shameful thing to get your period early.
Well, I remember I actually had a boyfriend, lol, like a MSN messenger boyfriend, you know, from the other cool school. And I was like, I can't believe I don't have my period. Like, all of my girlfriends had theirs and I still didn't have mine. And I was like,
Were you ashamed? Like, were you ashamed on the other end? Like, I'm not a woman yet.
I was just freaking out. Like,
I know. You were singing Britney to yourself. You're like, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman. I've got to stop singing.
I did love that movie, by the way. Crossroads, excellent.
Oh, that was a sick movie. So I did ask the pollers
sick.
When they'll start.
Tell me.
I love hearing you say sick. It makes me realize how weird it would sound when I say sick because it's just a bit off brand, but we should keep doing it. So I asked the pollers on our Instagram, readyornot.pod, when will you start talking about topics such as menstruation with your children? The options, under the age of 5 in small ways, over the age of 5, over the age of 10, or over the age of 12/13. What do you think was most popular?
Under the age of 5 in small ways.
What percent are we throwing at it?
45.
81%, which I'm really proud of. Everyone.
That's amazing. Yeah. And that's
great. Isn't that incredible? So I feel like the parents of today know what's up. They know what we need to be doing, how we need to be speaking to our kids. Over the age of 5 was 11%, over the age of 10 was 8%, and over the age of 12/13 was 0%. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I then asked, have you always tended to hide tampons and such in the workplace? What percentage do you think said yes?
95.
Close, 84%, and 16% said no. I am one such hider. And then there were just a few key tips around normalizing topics such as menstruation in the workplace, which I'll share with you. Just two I'll share because they're all really similar. One was check out the Aligned Womb podcast. And one just mentioned how great it is when a workplace has sanitary products available in the bathroom for emergencies.
Oh, yes.
Emergencies is the scary part. And that's sort of the, not the shameful part, but that's where you get nervous and frightened because no one wants a bloodstained skirt, do they? Or pants or whatever it is you're wearing. It's just not the best feeling. So that was a mini poll. I did actually also ask for if anyone had some funny or not so funny stories about navigating menstruation in the workplace. Not no bots, Lozzie. That does not happen. I'm really disappointed. I wanted one funny story and one serious story that we could learn from, but the pollers weren't having it.
Oh, well, it's still obviously still a bit of a taboo topic.
Go Jessica Biel, but stay away from my husband. Stay away. So as I mentioned at the top, the poll this week went nuts. You're going to hate watching me try and sieve through answers because you always make me not read them all out, which is very fair, but very annoying.
Yeah, I'm like, don't read them all.
I know. I can't pick my favorite children.
But you can't. No,
I can't. You can't. I'm not going to, I promise. So first question, all about me time, Lozzie. Finish this sentence. I am ... at scheduling in some me time. So I am good. I am terrible. I am okay. I'm trying to get better at. What was the most popular?
Trying to get better, for sure.
What percent?
20.
So this was the most evenly cast poll I've ever seen. So okay was actually the top at 30%. Trying to get better at sat just underneath at 29%. Terrible 24%, which we don't love to see that. And good 17%. So it's very even. It's almost a quarter for each. At least everyone listening should feel seen by that.
Exactly.
What would you put yourself in there? Trying to get better, okay, terrible or good?
I reckon I'm pretty. Oh, no, I wouldn't say you're good. I like more of it. Yeah, I reckon maybe I'm good. I'm not bad.
I feel like you're good, like a good pragmatist in that way. You will book in your Pilates or go out for dinner with your friends. You don't let yourself not do those things.
No, I don't burn out.
And you're not someone that feels guilty doing those things.
I never feel guilty. Never.
Yeah, it's great. What would you say I am? Oh, I feel like I can't even say that right now because I've got a 4-month-old and she doesn't take the bottle.
But I do think you do suffer from more guilt than I do.
I don't think I feel that much guilt. I'm pretty good at leave. I mean, I left Ray for a 2-night trip and a 3-night trip within a month of each other last year. And I didn't feel any ounce
That's
of guilt.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Do I feel guilty? I do. I am going through a phase of feeling guiltier at daycare drop-off. So maybe that's where your mind is going. I think I'm good at leaving Ray. Like, I'm good at palming him off to your auntie and uncle, my in-laws, for a night. And I won't even think about that.
Yes.
But daycare is probably where I'm coming a little bit unstuck at the moment, I'd say.
And maybe when Posty is a bit older, like she's still so small.
Yeah. I'm not good at leaving a newborn.
Nah.
And she's refusing the bottle. It's just stressful.
Yeah, you can't.
I think
so
it's
then
more
you're bound.
Stress for me in the early days, because even if I left Posy for a few hours, which I absolutely do, but only for a few, if it was for longer than that, I'd be so stressed about her not taking the bottle and getting the call to come home. That's not my thing. And then I'm like, you're going to ruin my night anyway. May as well take her. So I'm not good at leaving a newborn. I agree with you there. Next one. My number one me time activity is, and the options are, exercising, socializing, nails slash hair slash something pamper vibes, or reading slash resting slash solo vibes. What do you think was the most popular?
Exercise, which is so, it makes me cringe. I hate that women are spending their me time.
I hate that too, because it's,
it does make you feel better.
But if it's for your mental health and your physical health, obviously that is very good. But for a lot of people, we are so used to being productive that I feel like we think we need to spend our me time being productive.
Yes.
Which is such a shame.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm going to have time away from the kids, I should be doing something good for me.
Particularly because I feel like there is some societal pressure, and I think other people would agree with me, but there is some societal pressure, like, to bounce back or to get into shape or to like something to do with your body. And I know exercise isn't meant to be about that. It's meant to be about your mind and doing things for yourself. And it is a form of self-care, but I do still think there is a lot of stigma around it being like a outlet to essentially maintain fitness or like maintain a certain body shape. So it does irritate me sometimes when I'm like, I mean, I love Pilates and I love doing it, but equally I would love to have an hour where I genuinely do nothing, but I would prioritize exercise over doing nothing, because I'm like, feels more productive, feels like I'm in that society norm of like getting my body back, feeling strong. Like, and sometimes I just want to fucking sit there and sit in my ass and do nothing.
I couldn't agree more. And if I'm waking up during the night and breastfeeding, I always run into, when should I exercise, which is good for me and good for my physical health and good for my mental health? And when do I lie the fuck down? I find it really hard deciding that.
Yeah, it's hard.
And then when do I see my friends? Like, I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling depleted. Every now and then I push myself, but I have noticed this postpartum more, I'm just cancelling everything. And maybe it's because it's the second kid, I don't know.
Good.
And then I do push myself every now and then, because I'm like, you know, fresh air, conversation, all those things can be really helpful. But I find picking how to spend my me time obscenely
it's hard. So
hard. I shouldn't find it as hard as I do. It's pathetic, really. So exercising was 41%. Resting slash reading slash solo vibes was 30%, which I love. Socializing 19%. This sort of hurts me a bit, because socializing can be so hard as it is. And if it's prioritizing rest and you're sort of in that season where it just is a bit hard and you have a newborn, I get it. But it does hurt me as well that maybe we're not getting out to see our friends enough without our kids there. And then nails, hair, something pamper vibes was 11%. I'd like to see that go up personally.
Yeah, so would I.
My next poll item was all about how much I struggle knowing how to use my me time. And I'm not alone. So I must admit, it made me feel good that I wasn't alone. So I said, how do you decide how to spend your me time? I'll give you opposite ends of the spectrum. Someone said,
okay, here we go.
Paralysis equals scrolling and regret. Don't want to take it because worry about wasting it. I totally understand that.
I know.
And I feel for you. Someone said, I prioritize Pilates because when I go, I am physically and mentally stronger. That makes total sense. When you hear about exercise being prioritized for those reasons, that makes sense. That's a really good
also idea. I do think by doing a gym class, you can't, or like some form of activity that's in a structured way, you can't be on your phone. And I think what tends to happen is that if you have too much choice, you're like, I'm just gonna scroll. Whereas when you're in a class, sometimes you can switch off because you're like, I can't reach for my phone while I'm in a class.
That's a brilliant point, because even if I read, if I'm sitting on the bed reading and my phone's there, I'll pick it up every now and then. So it's not like I've had an hour of meditation time.
It's a sickness.
That's so true. And it is an illness, and I have caught it, and it's not going away anytime soon. And you actually can socialize while you're exercising too. For example, on Saturday morning, my friend and I went to a class together and then had a coffee together and then went home to Posy. So two birds, one stone. I do get why exercise comes into it. I actually forgot to mention at the top, I went to 3 classes last week, 2 Pilates and 1 yoga. I'm so proud of myself.
Really? Are you still real flexy, bendy?
I'm not bendy. I literally think I'm going to break.
Can you touch your toes?
Of course.
Yeah,
she says snobbishly. Lossie, of course, I can touch my
tongue. You're far ahead of me.
So I was really proud of myself with that. And on that, as you know, something really sad has happened in the last month. And in the first sort of 2 weeks of that grief, my friends and I noticed that we were drinking a lot, not drinking a lot to excess, but drinking each night, having that one or two drinks to take the edge off. And I think that's a big conversation that I want to bring to the pollers around sort of this mummy wine culture and the flaws in it. Yes, it's okay to have a joke every now and then about, is it wine time? But sometimes I think that can be taken too far and we're missing out on what a mum might be struggling with if she is drinking a bit too much. However, I decided last week that it was just making me feel terrible, even if it was just one drink a night. So I also am really cutting back on my sort of drinking for the sake of it, like having that 5 o'clock glass of wine on a Tuesday, for example. I want to reiterate, I'm not having two or three drinks every single night, but I need to end my relationship with that take the edge off one drink at 5 o'clock, especially noticed it having gone through something. What do you like with your midweek drinking?
I do think it becomes a problem when you, and I'm in this phase at the moment, when you signal having a wine with relaxing and unwinding.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So for me, I go through phases all the time. You know what I'm like? I'm a swings and roundabouts. You know, there'll come a month when I'm like, nah, it doesn't make me feel good. I'm not going to do it. I don't need the glass of wine. And instead I'll have a fizzy water or have a tea or whatever. At the moment, for me, I love a glass of wine. I only drink one. Not that it matters. I could be drinking five. Like, it's nobody's business really, but I am having one. The problem that I'm having at the moment is that that glass of wine for me signals like kids are in bed, I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
It's like a sense signal to my brain saying like, you're done for the day. And I probably should have a healthier, more consistent approach to like what that signal should be. Maybe it's having sit down and reading a book. Like I would feel way more productive and better about myself the next day if I did that. And I'm like, God, I love a glass of wine. Like, I actually enjoy it.
I know. I really enjoy it. And I've always found it like that 6 o'clock glass with dinner and maybe with Hayden, so the kids are about to eat or whatever. It's like a signal from like day to night. So I have enjoyed
yes. The
ceremony of it in some ways, as long as you're not doing it too much. But it's interesting drinking with grief and then realizing that you're drinking because you're sad. And I've really noticed that.
Yes.
It's fascinating the way we use alcohol as a coping mechanism, even just switching off.
It is. And it also doesn't make you feel good the next day. Like even one glass, to be honest, you don't feel as good.
One person said, my therapist told me to make a list of things I enjoy and draw it out of a hat when I need inspo. I love that.
Oh, that's cool.
Someone else said, I struggle with this too, and then I feel frustrated. This is a really brilliant one because I feel like I'm going to use similar to create like a framework for deciding what it is I need with that me time on any given day.
Yeah.
This person says it depends on the mood I'm in. If I'm feeling touched out, I'll book in for yoga. If I've got cabin fever, I'll head out for a walk and fresh air. If I'm feeling down, I'll catch up with a friend and maybe have a wine.
I love that. I love that mentality. Yeah. Whereas I think for me at the moment, that wine is like a regardless thing. I would love to adopt her approach of specific things for specific reasons.
Yes. Like it's a bit of a checklist. And it also sort of checks in with how you're feeling. Like we're also aware that we need me time, but sometimes I don't know what it is that I need it for.
What version of it?
Exactly. If I'm feeling tired or if it's frustration because I haven't had time away from the kids. So I love that. Create a little bit of a checklist of the things you would normally do and assign them to different feelings and see what works for you. Next one, what do you need to make sure you get me time? The options were partner encouragement, to book it in advance, to feel organized with home and kids stuff, or honestly, to feel near breaking point. What do you think was the most common answer?
Oh, God. Book it in. You have to book it in.
That's nearly there. Very close. So 33% was the biggest poll stat, and that's for to feel organized with home and kids stuff. To book it in advance was 30%. Partner encouragement was 22%, and 15% was honestly to feel near breaking point.
Well, that's sad.
It did upset me a little bit because it's sort of...
You don't want to get to that point.
Yeah, for us mums, that 33% was the most common answer of to feel organized with home and kids stuff because I'm thinking to myself, well, that means that you think
you're never going to feel like that.
And also it means that you think that's your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm disappointed that that's the most common. I get it, but I'm disappointed. Partner encouragement is probably the one for me at the moment because I am doing the it's more trouble than it's worth to leave Posey thing.
Yes.
Hayden, the other day, Posey was just asleep at a weird time. Like I planned to feed her before yoga, but she was asleep at say 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And I said to him, oh, I can't go, can I? Because she's going to wake up and need a feed. And he was like, get out that door now. And I'm so glad he did because I had the best morning going to yoga.
Yeah. And also he's done it too from his perspective because you're a better person when you return.
100%. And I'm really feeling that second time around. 100%. It's better for us all. Rather that than me looking glazed over because I have been like properly a bit down lately. Not all the time, but more down than I've ever been in motherhood. And it's probably because as well of what's happened. But going from one to two has without a doubt been harder for me mental health wise than zero to one. So I agree with you. I don't think he wants to see me being sad and glazed over every now and then when I'm touched out. He'd rather me go enjoy myself. Next one. How much time do you need to feel somewhat reset? 1 to 2 hours, 3 to 4 hours, a full day, or there's never enough? Firstly, give us your answer, Lozzie.
Oh, there's never enough. Yeah. But 1 to 2 hours is pretty realistic. I could manage that. I mean, I could go to Mexico solo for like 2 months, which would be excellent, but I mean, it's never going to happen. So
yeah, it's a bit of a trick answer having there's never enough and then those options because surely everyone thinks there's never enough. I think I voted 3 to 4 hours, but 1 to 2 does at least give you that circuit breaker that you sometimes need. What do you think was most popular?
I reckon 1 to 2.
Yeah, 40% for 1 to 2. 3 to 4 hours was not far behind at 35%. There's never enough was 18% and a full day was 8%. I guess it makes sense that a full day was the least because if you're going a bit further along.
It's just hard to logistically.
And you just click, there's never enough time. Next one. When do you think you really started to get some more time to yourself again? So this was done in kids' ages. So over 6 months old, over 1 year old, over 2 years old, or over 3 years old? Your answer first, please.
I would say over one, after one, when they can kind of walk.
Yeah.
And they're a bit more self-sufficient. I mean, they're not self-sufficient, but you know, you feel more comfortable leaving them.
100%. And that's when I stopped breastfeeding Ray just after one.
Yes.
So it was a very obvious, it was only a morning feed for those last few months, but still it's the physicality of you do not need me for nourishment.
Yes.
Or comfort.
Yeah.
What do you think was the most common?
I reckon I'm going to actually say over two. I think people would say over two.
So over one actually was the most common, but I thought that was going to be the case too. Because I think you and I, once we get to a certain stage, are pretty good at then locking things in for ourselves. But I had a feeling that we're in the minority, but we're not. 46% said over 1 year old, 24% said over 2 years old, 23% over 6 months old. So those are pretty even. And then over 3 years old was only 6%. The next one, top tip for making sure you get me time in. Someone said, please tell me, anytime I do anything, I get the guilt.
It is hard. It depends on the age of your kids too.
Another person said, make it energy giving so you don't need to recover from your time away, i.e. when drinking. And this is another one that I always think of. If you have a night away from your kids, do you spend that having fun, reliving your 20s, going out on a dance floor, getting drunk, or do you rest? I want to do both. I want both of those options. I don't want the hangover the next day. So I do understand this person's tip.
I also think from an energy perspective, the older you get, the less time you have for drama and people that drain your energy.
Yeah. So it's not just the drinking, it's the hanging around people that don't serve you.
Exactly right. And it is sad because you go through different changes of your life. And there might be times when you're the drama based one, which maybe means you need some alone time just to like spare your friends.
Yeah.
From draining their lives.
Just fucking give them a break for God's sake.
You need to be mindful. You do as much as you can. You need to be in tune with where your energy levels are at. I don't know about you, but there's been like a couple of occasions when I'm so depleted. I'm so tired. My kids are draining my life. Ryan's a nightmare. You know, and all I can think about is I just want to be with people that have some great news stories that are like, oh, had a great time. I did this and that. And they really uplift you.
Yeah.
As opposed to meeting people who are in the same headspace as me. They're like, oh, it's such a drainer, isn't it? I'm like, fuck, I feel worse after listening to that. Like,
I couldn't agree more. And sometimes you don't want to be talking about things to do with motherhood. Sometimes we do. Obviously, we do it every week on this podcast. But sometimes I want the conversation that does not exist within the four walls of my house. Give me something good. Give me something new. I'll quickly reel off a few more. Most people said have something planned in advance, lock it in and pay for it. Shared calendar was another approach. Understanding your barriers and what you need and where your boundaries are and what sets them off. And I love this one. Someone said, think, what would my husband do? And do that. Why are they so much better at it?
Play golf.
But don't play golf. Pretend to play golf.
Yes.
Next one. If partnered, do you and your partner plan out your week to determine when each of you can get some time to exercise, etc.? Do you plan your week out, you two? Do you discuss, this is when I want to do X, Y, Z?
Absolutely.
So do we. I say to Hayden, what days are you actually going to be on site? And what days are you working from home to try and figure that out? He started swimming, and particularly with what's happened again lately, which it's not my story to tell. So I feel like I'm sort of dangling a carrot. But anyway, with what's happened lately, I'm very focused as well, and Hayden doing something for himself more so than I was before. So he's doing swimming. I'm doing yoga and Pilates, and we definitely are trying to plan out a week together.
Nice.
How far do you go with your planning? Because you, for example, like to sometimes go out.
We do week to week.
Yeah, yeah. And is it everything though? Is it social? Is it everything?
Everything. It's everything because Raya travels a lot for work. I have different work start times. We've got kinder drop-offs. I like to do Pilates. Ryan likes to surf or play golf. We've got my dad in there as well. Like we've got family requirements of food to see and things to do. So I feel like I need to be super organized because if I feel like I am not getting time to myself, or I'm working full-time and being a mum full-time, it's just not going to work.
Too much.
For our relationship and for me personally. Yeah, it's overwhelming.
How is it when someone flings something on you? Is that the word I'm looking for? I don't know what I'm looking for, but when you're surprised by something, you've forgotten or that, oh, there's my dog in the background.
I know, Louie.
Hi, hey, Louie.
Hey, doggy dog.
That's adorable. I do not like being caught by surprise, which Hayden knows better than to do, but there is nothing worse than forgetting or not talking again about something that you spoke about weeks ago. And then they're like, oh, I have this on this weekend.
It's even for me. So I'm a creature of habit. When I get home, I like to strip off, get in my dressing gown, feel like my authentic self, take my makeup off, do a little double cleanse. On a Sunday, I like to do a full body moisturize. Like I just love, like I've been doing it for years, just things that are.
Put that in the shared calendar between 1 and 2 on a Sunday. Loz is moisturizing the body.
I fully moisturize my whole body, which means I have to be nude just to like let it, you know, sink in. And it bothers me sometimes when Ryan's like, oh, you know, Jack's just coming around. I'm like, duh. Like,
this is moisturizer time. And if it's that time of month, I might be sticking a tampon up as well.
You should have told me this before I took my makeup up, tied my hair in a bun, got completely naked and put my dressing gown on. Like, could you give me a warning? I don't have to look my best, but Jesus, I don't have to look like this.
Next one. I'm so sorry for everyone at home. We were just talking at each other, but we got a bit excited there. I just love picturing you moisturize every Sunday.
I do. I've been doing it for years.
Well, no wonder your skin's so gorgeous. Next one. What is the number one thing that gets in the way of you having some time to yourself? What's the number one thing for you? Probably that Rye sometimes travels for work.
Yourself, me.
Oh, you. Okay, I love that. It's me too.
Okay, well, I mean, life can be busy. But often it's me. It's me thinking, oh, it's too hard. And it's not too hard. You just got to do it. Once you're there, you feel great wherever you might be.
So I couldn't agree more. That's the same with me. As soon as I get there, I've never regretted it. Someone said money, which is a really fair one. I mean, obviously we can do things like go for a walk and do things that are free, but I totally get that. Another person said too many things to do, hard to switch off when everything is a priority, family, home, business. Totally get that. That's a really hard one.
Yeah.
Lots of iterations of that same answer to do with housework. There's always so much to do. Someone else said being too tired, but once I get there, I never regret it. Then there's sickness, social commitments. Someone said their partner and lack of partner support. I really hope that this episode maybe sparks you to have a conversation with your partner because I just think we really undervalue that if a mother or primary caregiver is given time away, she's going to be happier and nicer to everyone. Like, it's, as you say, it's of benefit to everyone. Second last one here. If partnered, does your partner encourage you to take some time to do the things that you love or need? Yes, sort of, or no?
Sort of.
Yes was actually the number one.
Oh.
61% said yes, which is good, but I was going to guess sort of as well. Hayden very much does for me, so I don't know why I was thinking grim, but I was thinking grim. I thought people would say sort of, which was 31%.
Rye's pretty good.
Yeah, Rye would be like, dull, get out there. I can picture him just staying dull.
Yeah, he is. He's like, just do it. Just go. And I'm like, yes, but in order for me to go, you need to be home.
Or yeah, like, yeah, get home from work. You need to be not traveling for work. I can't leave them here on their own.
See you, kids. Bye.
And then no is 8%. And then the last one, I just said, are there any tips, stories, worries, or questions to add to this? Someone said, my partner is great at encouraging me to do these things as long as it doesn't clash with his me time. I thought that was really interesting. Someone else said, and this one broke my heart a bit.
I think that's fair.
Why should the dad's me time go before the mum's though?
No. But I think what he's saying is like, let's both have the me time. It just can't be at the same time. It's like,
no, I think this person's prioritizing their me time over their partner's, because she said it with a melty face, you know, like, as long as it doesn't clash with his time.
Okay, well, yeah, it's annoying.
I know what you mean, though. Someone, as we just said, someone practically has to be home with the child.
Yeah, as in someone needs to be at home. It's like someone's got to
get. But I think this is like, oh, go to yoga. Oh, no, on a Saturday morning, I'm doing that. That's the vibe I'm getting from this.
Yeah, no, it's annoying.
And then someone else said, love this convo, so topical and something I chat constantly with my mum friends about. So that's a bit of nice feedback. Someone said something that upset me a little bit, which is, if I leave baby and toddler with dad, every one of them has a shit time, not relaxing for me. So we'll have to think of some ways to, I don't know how to help that situation, but if anyone has any tips, please write in. And I love this one to end with. They probably need a break from me too. And couldn't agree more. In my household, they need a break from me.
Feels.
Give me your tip, you little tipster.
All right. If you have health insurance, check your member benefits for things like discounted movie tickets, kids' activity discounts, etc. I did this recently after a girlfriend of mine had bought movie tickets for like $9. And honestly, they're now like $25.
Are they really? I haven't been to the movies in so long.
I don't know how much they are, to be honest, but they're expensive. Anyway, you can save yourself some money in it. And it took 2 seconds. The other thing is that I thought was fascinating, which I did the other day. I mean, you have to be kind of organized. It's a bit of a drainer. It does save you money. A lot of health insurance companies have discounted gift cards for Coles, Woolies, like your basics. So if you purchase the card and then go in and pay with it, you're automatically saving money.
I love the way your mind works. I need to get better at that sort of stuff.
I mean, it does require a level of organization.
Which you have.
I do. Another quick tip from me too is, you know, when you check out on cart of like whatever it might be that you're purchasing, always Google discount codes. You would be surprised how many times you find a discount code, even 5%.
I've got a tip here too. Like, take a photo maybe if you definitely want to buy that cart, but exit out of it. If they have your details, which sometimes if you've logged in or whatever they have, they'll send you a disc. They'll be like, you left something in your cart. Like Inku, I buy, which actually comes to my tip. I always get a gift voucher for any present, Christmas, birthday, Mother's Day.
Yes.
Anytime my mum and dad or Hayden would buy me a present, it's a gift voucher. And so Inku do this with me because I must have my details logged in there where they've then sent me my cart. That wasn't necessarily a discount related one, but I've had that in the past where you've, what do you call it? When you like abandon cart and then they come back with 5% off. So I love these tips. And that was my tip. Find your love language or what makes you happy and use that to advantage for every present that you receive. I'm very specific with telling the people what I want. I don't want a surprise for my birthday. I want to want...
Telling the people.
The people that serve me, that live under my wing. I will tell my mum and dad and Hayden what I want for my birthday or Christmas and with Hayden Mother's Day. And that for me is, I love buying clothes, but I don't have much money to buy clothes. So I, and even my darling in-laws / your auntie gave me a voucher to spend up at James Street. Oh, here she is. There's my gal, Sienna.
Lucy.
She can't actually hear me. You love gifts. So yours might be a bit different to mine. My tip is to think of what makes you happy on the subject of me time. It might be massages and facials. Use that to your advantage for every single birthday present, every Christmas, whatever it is. I think it's just a great way to include some things that you really like doing into your year without feeling guilty about spending extra money. So for me, it's more about I love to buy some lovely pieces that I want to keep in my wardrobe, but I can't normally afford. For you, it might be I love getting, I mean, it's not facials for you. I think it's more like you would love a lovely gift, but.
I love gifts. Like I love.
Yeah, you want a gorgeous gift.
I don't need, it doesn't need to be special.
No, you just like a gift. Yeah, I love a card. That's always my thing. I have to have a written card.
Yep.
So yeah, I guess basically just find what it is that you like. It might be a yoga pass for 3 months, 1 month, whatever. And use that to your advantage when it comes to the gift times of year so that it's easier for you to get whatever me time you like. I know buying clothes shouldn't really be my me time.
Yeah, but it's okay that it is.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. And Lozzie, I have been jittering my way through this. I've been awake since 3:50 a.m. I think it's time to wrap.
As always, thanks for listening to today's episode of Witching Hour. If you love our podcast, please give us a positive review. It makes a world of difference, and follow us on readyornot.pod.